This is HPR episode 2714 entitled, Airplane Stalls, An Angle of Attack. It is hosted by Brian in Ohio, and is about 17 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, a primer on why airplanes quit flying.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello folks, Kay Wisher here to remind you that it's that time of year again. Time for the Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve show. For those who don't know, on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2018, at 10 a.m. UTC, that is 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will have a recording going on the HPR Mumble server for anyone to come on and say Happy New Year and talk about whatever they want. We will leave the recording going until January 1st, 2019, 12 a.m. UTC, that will be 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or until the conversation stops. Please visit hackerpublicradio.org to find all the details and links about how to set up the PC Mumble client, your favorite mobile app, the mobile server connection details, our Etherpad show notes, and the live audio stream if you only prefer to listen in on the lively banter. So please stop in and say hi, and maybe join in the conversation with other HPR listeners and contributors. It's always a good time.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio. Brian in Ohio here, crawling out from under his rock and doing an episode on a subject matter that's been in the news a few times recently, and that was it has to do with the aircraft accident in Indonesia, the Lion Air 737 that crashed somewhere in the climb out. And there's been some misreporting about some stuff, and I wanted to clear that up. This is just helping out journalists out there who are willing to do the hard work by even opening up a Wikipedia page. So what I want to talk about was why airplanes stall and what an angle of attack gauge is. So to start out, let's talk about why planes, how they fly, how they produce lift. And so things like balloons and dirigibles, they produce lift by having gas inside of a bag that's lighter than the air around them, so they float. So it could be just hot air balloon or something like helium or hydrogen inside of a bag. That all works. Those vehicles don't suffer from any kind of aerodynamic stall because they produce most of their lift via, you know, this gaseous air. So we won't be talking about that. Things like Harrier jets, for you people in Europe who definitely know those, we used them here in the Marine Corps. Quadcopters, wrongly named drones as people call them, use a principle called thrust vectoring, which is producing lift by directing a bunch of propulsion, you know, against gravity, and they causes the thing to rise. Well, things like the Harrier jet use that for, could hover and take off that way. That again is not, doesn't have anything to do with the way an airplane produces lift or has anything to do with stalling. Helicopters do produce lift the way airplanes do. They have a rotating wing, and they do suffer stall effects, but I won't discuss those either because I really don't know anything about helicopters. What I do know about is airplanes. I've been flying airplanes for many decades now, and I do know about airliner type aircraft. I've never flown a 737, but I've flown planes that are similar to it, and I've flown planes with angle of attack gauges where you can actually see them, and I fly airplanes right now that have angle of attack sensors that feed information into the flight control computers to help to help control the aircraft. So anyway, airplanes produce lift in two ways. The first way, this isn't in order, but only in the way we're going to discuss them. First way is just general deflection of air off the body or the wing, the bottom of the wing. Air hits it, it deflects, and you produce an equal and opposite reaction that creates some lift. This is how kites fly, flat kites, like your typical little diamond kite that you might have flown as a child, or maybe you still fly them now. Those fly because they deflect air downward. You get an equal and opposite reaction, producing a vector up that can, if it's strong enough, if you have enough wind, can produce lift enough to lift something up. The second way, which is the meat of it all, is that airplanes produce lift by the thing called the Bernoulli effect, where gas that's accelerated drops in pressure. And so an aircraft wing generally are curved on the top and flatter on the bottom. None of these things are 100% true. There are symmetrical wings that fly, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. This is for general aircraft, including airliners. They have a curved upper portion of the wing. The bottom wing is flat or slightly curved or maybe even convex for a real slow flying aircraft. So the air going across the wing on the top gets accelerated, and as the wing goes through the air, and it drops some pressure, and then so you have high pressure at the bottom and low pressure at the top, and that pushes the aircraft into the air. So if you go fast enough and you have a big enough wing, you produce enough lift to lift the aircraft off the ground, and that's how airplanes produce lift. So now stalling of a wing is a term that you hear sometimes, and people misunderstand this. So an airplane's wing stalling has nothing to do with its engine. Gliders have no engines, and they fly, and they stall just like any other aircraft, heavier than aircraft. They just use gravity for their energy source. So it has nothing to do with an engine or anything like that. An aircraft wing is considered to be stalled when that air flowing over top of the wing becomes so disturbed that doesn't have the low pressure, and the aircraft quits flying. And that can happen for a number of different reasons. It can happen because you have ice on your wing. It can happen that top layer can be disturbed because of dirt on the wing. So definitely shape of the wing matters, and disturbing the shape can cause it to quit producing lift. Now, the most stalls of the wing, that separation of that upper air on the wing, most stalls happen when you exceed a thing called the critical angle of attack. So the angle of attack of an aircraft is the relationship of the long axis of the wing which is generally in line with the fuselage, with the body of the aircraft, and the air it's moving through. It has nothing to do with its general attitude towards the ground or anything like that. When we fly aircraft on instruments, we do that using instruments that give us our relationship to the earth. And that's what you see in those artificial horizons. But that has nothing to do with the angle of attack of the aircraft. You can have the angle of attack of the aircraft is just the relative deflection of the chord line. That's what the long axis of the wing is called. I shouldn't say the long axis. So that's the axis from the front of the wing to the back of the wing, not from the wingtip to wingtip, from the front of the wing to the back of the wing. So the chord line, the relationship of the chord line to the air going over it is called angle of attack. And when you exceed the angle of attack of whatever, and it varies for different airfoils, the wing is stalled. It won't produce any lift. And this can happen at any speed and at any attitude. You can stall a plane going straight up. You can stall a plane going straight down. You can stall a plane upside down. And when you go to an air show and see an aerobatic pilot doing their routine, a lot of those maneuvers in those planes are a function of a wing not flying, being stalled, having exceeded the angle of attack and controlling that. So the plane is still controllable even though it has exceeded the angle of attack. It's just not flying anymore. It's not falling. Falling with style. So you have to divorce the idea of attitude and relationship to the earth with angle of attack. Also, you have to divorce speed. Aircrafts, we talk a lot, even in the aviation circles, about stall speeds. But stall speeds are always taken with a grain of salt because they vary with the aircraft's weight, the angle of bank, and how quickly you move the controls. Those things all will affect what you see on your airspeed indicator when the aircraft stalls. Now, so generally you might say a plane has a stall speed of, let's say, a smaller plane, maybe 50 knots. That's a level flight. That would be just pulling the controls back and letting the nose and let the plane slow down, and then it'll stall and the nose will drop and you'll do your recovery. But in a turn, now the plane is carrying more weight because of centrifugal force, and you get gravity. The aircraft actually weighs more. The wing needs to produce more lift, and so it will stall at a higher indicated speed. That's the difference. And it's the same angle of attack, it's just at a different speed. And so those two things have to be divorced when you talk AOA and why an aircraft actually stalls. Well, now, when a plane stalls, most aircraft are designed to recover. If you just let go of the controls, they'll recover into back to safe flight if you have enough altitude. Some planes, though, especially swept wing aircraft, can enter sort of stabilized high angles of attack where without pilot input, there's not going to be any recovering of the aircraft. The plane will just literally fall very stably out of the sky. And you can look into the Air France Airbus 330 accident out of Brazil a few years ago and read up, and there's a Vanity Fair article that has a long discussion about that. Very, very good article. Let's talk about angle of attack gauges. So an angle of attack gauge is a gauge that some aircraft have that you can actually see, and it will show you what the current angle of attack is. It'll show you what the current relationship between the chord line of the wing and the airflow over the wing. And you can use that to fly the wing at as efficiently as possible. And it's a very useful gauge. I've only flown one aircraft that had an AOA gauge, and it's extremely useful. It allows you to fly the correct speeds and the traffic pattern without looking at an airspeed indicator, and it just works like a champ. Great gauge. There's not a lot of aircraft that have gauges, AOA gauges. But despite AOA gauges not being very common in aircraft, almost all, I'd say all, you know, modern airliners have AOA sensors. And so these things sense the angle of attack, and with that and other inputs are able to provide information for displays on on your instrument panel. So you don't actually see an AOA gauge, but that information along with other inputs are mixed to produce all the information you need to fly the aircraft. So then some of those systems are then integrated into sort of automatic safety features. And the investigation's not complete, but it seems maybe that's what happened with that 737. Maybe a bad AOA gauge led to the aircraft thinking it was in a stalled condition, and then pushing the nose over, which is be the correct solution for that problem. But and then not, the pilot's not being able to take control. That the automatic input was more than they could overcome to fly the aircraft out, even though it wasn't stalled. So the investigation's out, so who knows, it's a theory. But I didn't really want to address that. What I wanted to address was just the poor reporting and people saying AOA gauge, measuring the angle of the nose, how high it is. It's just, it has nothing to do with nose angle in relationship to the Earth. It has everything to do with the air going over the wing, and the reasons aircraft quit flying, stall, is simple in the sense that it just has to do with exceeding the critical angle of attack. But it's very, it's such a dynamics, the aircraft is moving three-dimensionally in space, and you can exceed the critical angle of attack in any attitude and at any airspeed. So it's something that's probably not taught a lot, and it's not really thought about a lot, but it's an important concept to understand, and I thought it'd help you, the Hacker Public Radio community, to be able to understand that and have a better grasp of what's going on, and just realize that the journalists, they don't really do a lot of hard work. That's why I'm helping out. That's why I'm helping out, to fill in some of those gaps. Anyway, enough rambling. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to email me or post a comment or make a show. And this is Brian in Ohio, crawling back under his rock. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.